Real joy having you here this morning, and we just trust the Lord will continue to bless His word to all of our heart and bring forth fruit, luscious, and joy for His glory. Now, some of you are saying that you're getting too much in one message. Some are saying you're getting as many as 6 messages in one. Well, don't worry about that. I believe like being a good housewife. She believes in spreading her table well. Now, what may not be for you may be for somebody else. And just take what belongs to you and forget all about the rest. Now, some of you are troubled too about not hearing too well. Don't worry about that. All the Lord wants you to hear, that's what you'll hear. Did you get that? All the Lord wants you to hear, that's all He wants you to hear. Just take what the Lord gives you and forget all about the rest. And don't get any headache or worry about it. The Lord Himself knows exactly what you need, so just take what He wants you to have and accept that with all from His own heart. Eh? Right, children, let us go back and go well to Ephesians and chapter 1. Ephesians and the chapter 1. Now remember, we're looking at that wonderful little scripture. Redeemed. A Christian is one, remember, who is a child of God. He's an heir of God. And remember now, he's redeemed. And redeemed not with corruptible things as silver nor gold, but by the precious blood of our adorable Lord Jesus Christ. So let us look in, please, at verse number 3 of the very first chapter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ. Now verse number 6. To the praise of His glory, the glory of His grace, wherein He has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Now down to verse number 18. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And remember, we finished off with verse number 19 last night. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead, and set Him His own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality and power, and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. That put all things under His feet, and give Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all and in all. Remember the little word redeem. We are thinking of the first letter R, and it reminds us of the ransom. The ransom price. The Lord, remember, He Himself is the ransom. Then the letter E, emancipation. We have been emancipated. We have been set free through the efficacy and the value of the precious blood of our adorable Lord Jesus. Then D, we have been delivered with a threefold deliverance. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse number 10. We have been delivered from sin's penalty. We are being delivered from sin's power. And one day we'll be delivered altogether from sin's presence. Then we finish with the word. What was the second letter E? Elevation. That's right. I'm glad you're still with me. The word is elevation. And we notice redemption is something that lifts up. The gospel elevates. And thank God for the elevation we have today. Blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Raised up together. Made to sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And we know that just as God has placed His Son far above all principality and power, might and dominion, name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, so beloved, that is our position today. We too have died with Christ. We have been buried with Christ. We have been raised with Christ. And that they were with Christ in the glory. Mr. T.B. Gilbert met me at National Airport a few weeks ago. As I came out through the gate, he said to me, J.K., yes, T.B., he said, what is the next best thing to know you're going to heaven? I looked at him and said, to know you're there already. I said, that's the answer. That's the answer. Not just going to heaven, we're there now. That's a position now. Our home address is in the heavenlies in Christ. Our business address is right down here at Park of the Palms. Got that? And because I'm holy and without blame before God in love, Peter Pell would say, now be what we are. Because we're holy in Christ, then let us live a holy life. Because we're righteous in Christ, then let us live a righteous life. Because we are pure in Christ, then let us live a pure life. And he says the Holy Spirit comes to indwell us and to empower us and to enable us that we might live the life down here what we are in Christ before the Father. The wonder is just this, that God looks upon the Son with complete delight and satisfaction. And notice now, God has accepted Christ, and He's accepted us in Christ. And the wonder of wonders is that we have complete confidence before God this morning. And God sees us right down here now as we are before Him at this very moment. May the wonder grip your heart and grip my heart. Now the word I want to give you this morning for the next E is the word enrichment. We are a Christian, we are enriched. And we shall never be able to measure the immensity of the riches into which we are being brought by the wondrous grace of our adorable Lord Jesus Christ. Notice something here will cause our hearts to exult. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, we read these wonderful words. That is chapter 8, verse number 9. Ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. Had we been able this morning to fathom the depth of the poverty in which the Lord Jesus Christ has gone, then that we be able to measure the heights of the glory into which He has gone. And we might be able to measure the immensity of the riches that we've been brought into as children of God. Think of this one co-eternal and co-equal with the Father in perfection and in power. Never a time when He was not God. Never a time when He'll never be God. The God of very God. And this one He veiled all His glory. He took that terrific stew and came right down, the seven steps down in condescending grace. And He says unto the king obedient, up unto death, even the cruel, despicable, loathsome death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name. And in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, and things in air, and things under the air. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Yes, my friend, he came right down to the very lowest depth. Thank God, God is highly exalted him. You know, the only other time you come across that word highly is in connection with the birth of the Lord Jesus. And he says to Mary, highly favored art thou among women. In connection with his humiliation, and now, beloved, in association with his exaltation, wherefore God has highly exalted him. And this word highly means a super exaltation. It excels all others. And you know something? That's where God has placed his Son. And that's where we are this morning, accepted in the Beloved. All the immensity of the riches. I know this is stupendous. I know my friend, our little mind can't grasp it. We just simply can't comprehend all that we've been brought into by God's matchless grace. Come with me now and see something here. Verse number 7, Ephesians chapter 1. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Now go to verse number 18. The eyes of our understanding being enlightened. That's another good E for you, by the way, regarding redeemed. The Christian is one who has been enlightened. The eyes of our understanding means the eyes of our heart. The eyes of our heart have been enlightened, that you may know what is the whole of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints. Now notice, verse number 17, it is the riches of grace. Here it is, the riches of glory. The riches of glory. Now remember, grace is glory in the bud. Glory is grace in full bloom. We often use the acrostic on the word grace, G-R-A-C-E, God's riches at Christ's expense. And we this morning have God's riches, but at the expense of his beloved Son. All that we ever will hope to have, and all that we ever will be, and all that we are now, is all because of the Son of God. And all because we're linked up with our adorable Lord Jesus Christ. And so now notice this in number 7 of the next chapter. Chapter 2, verse number 7. That in the ages to come he might show, notice now, the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Notice first of all the riches of his grace, the riches of his glory, but then he comes to the exceeding riches of his grace. The exceeding riches. Now go across to chapter 3, please, and verse number 8. And notice where your very last phrase, last five words, the unsearchable riches of Christ. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Romans chapter 11, verse number 33 says, oh, the depth of the riches of God in Christ. We will never be able to fathom them, nor measure the heights of them, nor the length or the breadth of them. Beloved, not only have we the riches of his grace and the riches of glory and exceeding riches, but now he says they are the unsearchable riches. Oh, let some of this come over your spirit life and hear the cry, oh, the depth of the riches. When I go back in my Bible to Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 22, I read a very remarkable statement. It says this, the blessing of God which maketh rich, and addeth no sorrow thereto. Now let us get the three pictures. The blessing, the riches, and the joy. Notice now, we have the blessing because Christ became the curse. We have the riches because He became poor. We have the joy because He became the man of sorrows. Oh, haven't we got a wonderful Lord? Haven't we got a wonderful Savior? Oh, is He precious to you? We sing this morning to you, who believe He is precious, whom having not seen we love. But is He really precious? Do we really know Him a living reality? Not just in the abstract, not just theoretically. Someone who died upon the cross 2,000 years ago, lives with Him someplace called heaven millions and millions of miles away. But do I know Him a living reality, living in my heart? Remember what the Apostle Paul said in Galatians 1, verse number 16, and it pleased the Father to reveal His Son, where? In me. Oh, have I had that revelation? John Nelson Darby, in his wonderful translation, recognized by scholars, and especially by Moody Bible Institute, the finest one-man translation we have. But what does it say? And it pleased the Father to unveil His Son in me. The wonder of it all. The Holy Spirit indwells us to the side of the veil and reveal Christ living in you. Harold Harper and I were together at a convention some time ago, and we were discussing Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. I turned to my good God and I said, Harold, does the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of Christ both dwell in the believer? He smiled and said, Jim, look at verse 16. Strengthen all might by His Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. And he said the whole thing hinges upon that little word, that. The Holy Spirit strengthens the inner man, Christ, may dwell in your heart by faith. Beloved, one of the first evidences of the filling of the Holy Spirit is He gives an overwhelming sense of the indwelling Christ. His presence, with all the corresponding peace and joy flooding the heart. They were able to say with the apostle, it's no longer I, but Christ that liveth in me. That Christ that liveth in me. The one of it all, then we can sing, oh, what a salvation is this, that Christ liveth in me. What I'm trying to get across this morning is the realization of the presence and the life of Christ. All the enrichment that has become ours, all because of that revelation that Christ is the life of my life. Giving that still before you now, remember again the blessing of God. We had the blessing before because He became a curse. Make us rich. We have the riches because He became poor. We have the joy, added no sorrow, because Christ became the man of sorrows. Now thank God this morning He's the man in the glory. The man in the glory. And lift our eyes, we see Him in all His glory and beauty. Yet by His Spirit He lives in you, and He lives in me. All the one of it all. Now, keep that before you. Go back with me now to another scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I want to see the progress here, and the ever-deepening and the ever-widening result of the riches we've been brought into. Oh, we're such a wealthy people. We are such a rich people. Now, the other day, there's some preacher got the idea, and I trust I'll never get this. I'm trying to get handouts from other people. Just because you're a preacher, you think you should have great favors, and people should give you things on the cheap. This preacher went to this motor mechanic, and he said to him, there was something to do wrong with his car, and he'd like him to repair the car. And he said, now, when you give me your account, remember, I'm just a poor preacher. He says, yes, I know. I heard you on Sunday. Well, that's one thing I trust I'll never do. Give anybody the impression, I may be a poor preacher, but I don't want anyone to ever think I'm poor, because I never am poor. I'm a multimillionaire in Christ Jesus. He's actually everything to me, the wonder of it all. Now, notice, will you please, chapter 11, the second chapter of the Corinthians, and verse 2. For I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin as a Christ. The word I want to give you is the word espoused. We are his espousal, and the idea here is that we're married as a Christ. Remember, the bridegroom is just so happy because of the bride. And remember, the friend of the bridegroom, John 3:29, rejoices with the bridegroom. He's just so happy. And the word here is, we are espoused at a Christ. Members of his body, flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone. Remember, just as the rib was taken from Adam's side, that is said, why? She's bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. So, beloved, this morning, we are the completement in our beloved Lord Jesus Christ. He, we are not only his body, thank God we are his bride, and we've been his house to Christ, a chaste, a virgin. Now go back with me to chapter 9, will you, and verse 11. Being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. The wonder of being espoused to him just fills our heart with joy. But now we are enriched in everything. Not only are we espoused, that we are enriched, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, and notice the result, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Now go to chapter 6 and verse number 11. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Notice the final expression, espoused, enriched, and enlarged. It's ever increasing, ever deepening. Thank God today, because we are espoused to Christ, that is very bride. So this morning we are enriched. And Psalm 119:32 says, I will run the way of thy commandment when thou shalt enlarge my heart. So thank God this morning for the enlargement of heart. Now I cannot but think that is the desire of us being here in these days of conference, not only to know the joy of this wonderful espousal, only the joy of this wonderful enrichment, but that our own heart may be enlarged in a fourfold way. Enlarged for the Lord himself. Remember it says in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. The word dwell means to settle down, and be it whole. Not just as a guest, he comes in as a host. It's not enough to give Christ a place in my life. He must have not only the prominent place, he must have the preeminent place. So our heart must be enlarged for the Lord himself. People sometimes, you know, as we travel up and down the country, say, there's your room, Mr. Boswell, now make yourself perfectly at home. I usually take them at their word and do that very thing. I am just as happy in the kitchen as I am in my own study or bedroom, whatever they may put me. I like to be at home. But you know, after I have left in my room and I get down by the bed or by the chair and thank the Lord for taking me to that area and pray his great plan of my being that will be wrought out to his own glory. Now I begin to unpack. Now I go across the closed cupboard. Now I'm going to put away my suit. I've got another suit, by the way. I'm going to put away my suit. Now, look, the door springs open. There's not an inch of room for my suit. But make yourself perfectly at home. I go to the chest of drawers, the tall boy. Now I'm going to put away my regiment key or my study books. The first drawer's locked. Next one's locked. Comes out right now, the third one is already full about make yourself perfectly whole. See what I'm getting at? Come in, Lord! But Lord, that closet, that cupboard there, Lord, is rather full. I don't bother going in there, Lord. Lord, I got that drawer locked against you. I don't want to look in that drawer, Lord, not the other drawer. Lord, the certain things, this drawer is really full. Don't you try to do that with the Lord? Oh, the day, beloved, may your heart, my heart, be enlarged. Every avenue, every cupboard, every drawer, every shelf, even the shelf behind the door, all cleaned up. He may come in all his wonderfulness, that we might know the wonderful enrichment which is ours in him, here and now. For he comes in, he brings all the blessing with him. What is the same Revelation 3:20? Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Harold Barker, who along with Harold Wilder is, to my mind, I think, of the world's best storytellers. Now I mean storytelling in the right sense of the word. Harold Barker told the story of a man who worked as a gardener for a very wealthy gentleman in Cumberland in England. And one day, after the morning service, the breaking bread, the master said to his servant, says, John, I'm coming home for lunch with you today. To my a little cottage down by the gate? Yes, John, I'm coming home for lunch with you today. And immediately John looked at his wife and they thought that the little vegetable soup we're going to have and that little cheese sandwich we're going to have for lunch, and now the master's coming for lunch. Oh, what shall we do? Say, don't worry, John, I'm bringing everything with me. Everything with me. So the carriage and pair in those days, not the car, the carriage and pair, stopped at the lodge. And it was then the footman, he carried all things in. John's wife spread a beautiful white linen table across the table. They brought in their turkey. They brought in ham, a boiled ham. They brought in sausage. They brought in butter and eggs and all the various trimmings, all the nice desserts and pudding and cake. Brought everything with them and the table was loaded. What happened? John and his wife, along with the mass and the other guests there, just drew near. And they participated. They become, my friend, the recipients of all the master had provided for them. A few long days afterward, the boss said to John, John, I want you and your good lady to come up to the big house. Come up with us today for lunch. You've never been up there, John. We want to come back with us.
And Sir John and his wife were very happy about this. They drew right past the lodge, right up the long driveway, right into the big hall, and the butler met them, see them in the reception hall, into the drawing room, and then as the gong rang, they all assembled there in the dining room. John and his dear wife. The table was creaking with all the riches and the royalties there on that board. What's the lesson? It was all provided by the Master. Now, child of God, get it. The Lord said, I will come into him and sup with him, and he brings everything with him. Pardon, peace, and power. Love, light, liberty, and life. He brings joy and awe so unspeakable and full of glory. All the needful time present, he brings everything with him because it's all treasured up in his own glorious person. And one day long, you know something, maybe today, he's going to say, no, I want to come home with me. Come home with me. And all that rich royal marriage supper, all my friends, think of all the royalties and the dangers there waiting. I think of the Queen of Sheba, when she had come and seen all the glories and all and seen her wisdom and all the riches belonging to Solomon. So why was no more strength left in her? And she cried, the half has never yet been told. Oh, we could only just get what we've been brought into as a child of God. Oh, the immensity of the riches. Oh, what a wealthy people we really are. Do you believe that, my friend, this morning? I see some of you nodding. I know you believe that. Don't be afraid to say amen. Here's the whole thing, children of God, now. A Christian is not only redeemed at a ransom. Not only is he, my friend, emancipated and delivered and elevated. But oh, thank God, today he is enriched. He's enriched, and enriched with all the riches that God has for us, treasured up in his beloved Son. Let us this morning go in and possess our possessions in Christ Jesus. Someone leaving yesterday morning said, why, I never realized I was so wealthy. I think I'll ask him for a loan. Oh, children of God, go then. Draw, what does that remember? In Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19, my God supply all your need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now, know this, not out of the abundance of his riches, but according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Now, know this, according to his riches in glory, who are in Christ Jesus. An illustration. A dear man some time ago gave me $40 as a gift in the Lord's name. I appreciated it immensely. Came at a time when it was needed. But you know, I knew that man, and still know him, to be a multimillionaire many times over. Now that man did not give me according to his riches, but out of the abundance of his riches. His daughter sent me a check for $200 sometime afterward. But again, I knew her to be a lady, a millionaire over and over and over again. She did not give me according to her riches, but out of the abundance of her riches. But he doesn't do that. You know? He gives us according to his riches in glory. And so the psalmist could say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I know you can't divorce these two little phrases. You shall never want. Because the Lord is your shepherd. Let the little boy is caught them as answer repeat Romans Psalm number 23 at the Sunday school treat. He got up and he said, the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. He forgot it.
23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd.
Again, he forgot it. Well, third time's lucky.
The 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd.
That's enough. He walks off the clapper.
But isn't that good theology? Eh, is it? The Lord's my shepherd.
That's enough.
Lord, thou art enough. The mind and heart are filled. Oh, fix my eyes so wholly, Lord, on thee, that with thy beauty occupied, I elsewhere none may see. So let us go now to our next letter, M. And the word is, a redeemed person is marked. There's a mark upon him. Now go back to Ephesians chapter 1 just to find the mark, shall we? Now these are verses we might easily quote for you, but it's good for you to see them for yourself. Verse number 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, the first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, as that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, and to the redemption of the purchased possession, notice now, unto the praise of his glory. The words found in verse 13, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now there you have the mark. We are being sealed, and the Spirit himself is the seal. He doesn't make the seal, he himself is the seal. Remember the old hymn we sometimes sing, and on each he setteth his own secret sign, they that have my spirit, they saith he, are mine. When my all I ventured on Christ's atoning blood, the Holy Spirit entered, and I was born of God. Yes, beloved, therein have we the seal this morning, the mark, we're a child of God. We yonder in Ephesus, and it called the great harbor there, and to bring the mighty timbers in, and to sell the timbers. And there's a certain mark, a certain stamp, same with the shepherds. They go to the sheep from the market, and they bow the sheep, and they got a pot of paint, a certain color, and it belongs to that particular farmer. And his shepherd takes the paint, having bought the sheep, and he placed that stamp, that paint on that sheep. And everybody knows that particular flock of sheep, or that individual sheep, belongs to a certain farmer. There's the mark. There's the mark of ownership. Remember, too, how the timber is taken, and there's a stamp there, a seal put upon that timber. It belongs to a certain merchant. I'm thinking now the idea of the seal. The wax is melted, and there is that seal, that stamp, and that, remember, that seal's taken, placed in the melted wax, and put upon the document. And there, my friends, their impression is made. The image of the seal is transferred to that document. Now notice, the first point is a mark of ownership. Is a mark of security, is a mark of identification. Now because we be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and we're his own dear children, he's placed his mark upon us. And remember, first of all, there is the seal. There's the seal. What is it? The mark of ownership. See, my friend, we're all were purchased by him, not the silver and the gold, but his own purchased possession, purchased by precious blood. Now the seal does not make me his. The price paid for me makes me his. But he placed a stamp upon me. There's a mark of ownership. Now I want you to get this. Now I think we ought to preach it more in our gospel ministry. Not only do we have the forgiveness of sins the moment we believe, but that moment the Holy Spirit enters into our life. The two go together. The forgiveness of sins and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And there you have the mark, the seal, the mark of ownership, and the mark of security. Thank God that seal can never be broken. That seal can never be broken. And notice what it says in chapter 4, verse 30 of the same letter. First of all, you remember then, there is a person, and he is himself the seal of the Spirit. There's a time when, notice now, on believing, we were sealed with the Spirit. And notice now the duration. It says in verse 30, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. My friend, notice the duration. This refers now to the redemption of the purchased possession. The redemption of the body refers to Romans chapter 8. And my friend, this may take place today. Oh, the wonder of it all. So there is the effect of identification. Now, the stamp is being placed upon us. And we shall reveal something of the image of our adorable Lord Jesus. Your life and my life should be an outshining of the indwelling Christ. Remember when we lose some of us all together, but see Him in all His glory and beauty. The mark. Now go down to the next one, will you? And this is a very precious one to me too, it really fills my heart. And remember Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 12. Hebrews 9 and verse number 12. This is a very precious one regarding redemption. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. He entered in once into the holy place, notice now, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Verse number 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself to God without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Notice in verse 14 the work of the Trinity here. The blood of Christ, by the eternal Spirit, offered himself to God. Now verse 15, the latter part. They which are called might receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Notice this, that threefold picture. One, the eternal redemption. By the eternal Spirit. And all the for the eternal inheritance. I love the word eternal, don't you? There is a duration. And we're sealed unto the day of redemption. Now notice, this is an eternal redemption. Not just for time, but for all eternity. Now go to Isaiah, will you? And chapter 43 for my last picture. Now I wish we were just starting in here now, instead of having to finish. In fact, I may continue here tonight. I think I want to be able to finish this. But notice where you please, in chapter 43, and verse number 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. For I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. Verse 4. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable. I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Verse number 7. Even every one that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I formed him, yea, I have made him. Keep that before you, and go back to Psalm number 18, Psalm 18, verse number 19. You get the word I have for you regarding the deed. Psalm 18, verse number 19. He brought me forth also into a large place,
He delivered me because He delighted in me. He delivered me because He delighted in me. The word I want to give you for the last letter D is the word delight. Thank God the redeemed are those who have been ransomed at a price. They are emancipated. They are delivered. They are elevated. They are enriched. They are marked with an eternal mark. And thank God, they are the delight of God. We find all our delight in Him. Our dear brother John, leaving yesterday morning, came to me and quoted a verse I meant to finish with. Now do it right now. Again, written in the flyleaf of John Nelson Darby's Bible, that thou should find delight in me and be the God thou art. It's darkness to my intellect, but it's sunshine in my heart. Oh, that He should find delight in us, I simply can't understand it. But thank God He does. I go on from there tonight. I want to speak in that last word tonight, the word, we are His delight. We are His delight. From Psalm number, rather Isaiah chapter 43. May I read the verse again? He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. May God add His blessing to the meditation upon His word this morning. Hymn number 149. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, redeemed for His infinite mercy, His child, and forever I am. 149. Together, shall we?
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. His child and forever I am.
You're a child of His, so when you're counted His child, same as all the power. By the way, there may be someone here and you're not yet a child of God. You've never yet entered into the good of your redemption. The price has been paid for you, but you're not in the good of this. If you're not saved, may God give you grace to trust Him this morning. If you are a Christian, are yet going round and not entering into your possessions, may God give you grace to appropriate by faith all that is yours in Him this morning. The second verse, there we go.
Raising man and happy in Jesus, in a lengthy fire that can kill. I know the light of His presence with me not continually dwell. Every day. My blessed Redeemer, I think of Him all the day long. I think her ahead of His silence. His love is the theme of my song. Redeem, Redeem, my love, Lord of the land.
last verse, in the light of what we're going to go on with tonight. It's beautiful words all together.
I know I shall sing in His beauty, and I sing in His life and delight. Who lovingly guarded my birthday, given me songs in the night. Mary,
Father, we thank Thee that we can bow in Thy presence this morning as Thine own dear children, cleansed by precious blood, saved by matchless grace. We are once afar off have been made nigh to Thee, and look up this morning and say, Abba, my own dear Father. O God, grant all of us here may be able to say triumphantly, thank Thee, O God, for saving my soul, showing me the good of this wonderful redemption. Now give me grace to enter right in and possess all Thou hast for me through the Lord Jesus Christ. Pardon us with Thy blessing, keep us in the hollow of Thy hand, may our demeanor, our deportment, our manner of living, all enhance the person and work of the Lord Jesus, that we shall walk before men as those redeemed and possessed by the Lord Himself in His peerless name. Amen. Thank you for coming out this morning. God bless you, each one.